A lot of people out there are very confused about what meditation is, and it is very hard to get a straight answer because intellectually, meditation is a very complex field, even though experientially, once you learn it, it's very simple. There are lots of meditation techniques out there. You can look on YouTube for guided meditations and you'll find a bazillion of them. And a lot of them are seemingly different. You have all these devotional meditations that are attached to spiritual and religious traditions. And you have all these secular meditations involving the breath or nonsense words, visualizations, things like that. And then you have all these standing meditations and moving meditations and sitting meditations. You could look for meditation techniques for quite a while and not even find anything you're remotely connected with in any way. So yes, it is a pretty complex subject to discuss. A lot of it comes down to being present in the moment and working with the ego effectively. The ego is what most of us identify with as I. And the ego tends to push away uncomfortable experience and cling to comfortable experience. So if something's uncomfortable, the ego is going to try to bury it. In an extreme case, like PTSD, entire memories are being buried. An experience happened that was very, very traumatic, and the ego's just trying to bury it and push it under the rug, and that causes problems later. So that's an extreme case. We all love pleasant experiences. We all love the comfortable, the familiar. We like staying in our comfort zones. So that's the ego clinging to comfortable experience. When someone's yelling at you, your ego's not going to like that very much. It's going to tense up your body so that you're less aware of the experience. So meditation is the art of being present with your experience and processing it in the moment, regardless of what the ego wants to do. So we have experiences all the time, all day long, whether we like it or not. And sometimes the ego is kicking and screaming. Sometimes it's saying, give me more of this, give me more of this, and don't stop. So usually our egos tend to act like spoiled children throughout our lives. And we're not fully processing our experiences in the moment. And when we don't process our experiences in the moment, we carry all this baggage with us, all this emotional baggage. That's how baggage is created. So in meditation, you're processing the present moment experience, and not only that, you're also processing all that baggage from the past, all the unprocessed experiences from your past, and letting go of the tension that you accumulated over the years. In terms of personal development, some people view meditation as the art of producing brain coherence. When you meditate, you're growing synapses between the neurons of the brain. Those synapses are those long things that come out of the neurons and allow neurons to communicate with each other. And the more you have, the more efficient and interconnected your brain is going to be. And that's something that boosts intuition. It boosts some intellectual abilities and multitasking abilities, and it also improves physical health because a lot of your body functions are controlled by the brain. You've heard of synchronizing brain hemispheres. Well, meditation does that, but it also turns the whole brain, all parts of it, into an interconnected community of parts, bringing you greater joy and a lot less stress. And there are many religious explanations for meditation, which we won't get too much into. But you can also liken meditation to becoming an ocean of consciousness. The ego is like the waves on the ocean, and all phenomena, everything that we experience, it rises and falls. We're born, we grow, we flourish, we get older, we die. When you breathe, the belly inflates, it rises, and then it falls back again. Now everything happens in cycles. when you're calmly present with all the phenomena that's happening inside and outside, especially when you turn your eyes inward and calmly observe what's going on inside, you become more and more like the ocean. So behind the waves of the ocean is this infinitely still, vast body of water. If a storm comes, it's not going to disturb the whole ocean, it's going to disturb the surface, the waves. So happiness is not in the waves, happiness is in the ocean itself. I wrote a book on meditation called Oceanic Mind, the deeper meditation training course that goes into this in more detail. But you really are the ocean. You're not just the waves of the ocean. Happiness is behind those waves. It's in that place that can't be disturbed by storms. So it's behind the emotions. It's behind the thoughts. It's behind all the body sensations. It's behind all the stuff that you want and all the stuff that you don't want. Now, I could go on and on forever on what meditation is, but from a more technical perspective, there are two main components to meditation. There's concentration and there's mindfulness. And we're going to get into detail on both of these things in the next couple of chapters. In a nutshell, concentration is concentrating on a chosen object. It can be visual, like a visualization of a tree or a waterfall. It can be verbal, like a chant or a mantra or a nonsense word that you repeat over and over again. It can be more kinesthetic, like focusing on the breath or focusing on body sensations. Mindfulness is the art of being present with whatever comes up in your consciousness. So you're going to get distracted from your object of focus. So what do you do? Well, these thoughts and emotions that are distracting you, they're happening in the moment. So mindfulness is the art of being present with that and watching all that, watching the thoughts as they come up and taking note that they're happening. And then you bring your attention back to the object of focus. And then other components that aren't quite as universal as these are warm-up strategies, ways that you warm up. Sometimes that's just relax and take a few deep breaths. And other warm-ups are more sophisticated, like long sophisticated yoga, stretching, and asana routines. And then another component to meditation is how you integrate it into your daily life. Muslims will stop and pray as a group 5 times per day. Buddhists might try to pay attention, full attention to everything that they do, including thinking, throughout the day. There are also many contemplative Christians and many Hindus who try their best to keep their thoughts on God or the higher power as much as they can during their daily activities. We're going to learn a lot more about all of this stuff in a later chapter, but now we're going to take things step by step and learn about the art of concentration and then the art of mindfulness.